This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to it. And we have our stream going on Facebook. So facebook.com/WESB1075. Yeah, I know what it is. And you can ask your questions that way or email us, garden@WESB.com. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
So what do we have going on today?
Okay, I'm going to be talking about fall work today. And, of course, one of the big jobs for a lot of us that have the trees in their yard, cleaning up the leaves or the needles. And it can be pretty important that you do clean them up. One way or the other. Of course, one way, most of the time, your lawnmower, most of us have mulching lawnmowers now, can just run over them. That chops them up, and then they start to help the soil. Because those old dried up leaves are full of carbon, and all the life in the soil, which is important, that life in the soil, needs carbon to continue its life. So adding that carbon is extremely, extremely beneficial. The other way, of course, is raking or blowing them. A lot of times you have to judge which way the wind's blowing if it's a windy day. You don't want to try to blow into the wind. That can be real discouraging.
Discouraging, yeah, to say the least.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different blowers out there, the gas-powered and electric. And even the battery-operated ones, they all work great. So blow them up into a pile. I like to get an 8x8 or a 10x10 tarp that you can get at Worth W. Smith. Very inexpensive, those blue tarps. You can pile all the leaves in there, then grab all four corners, bundle it up like Santa Claus, throw it over your shoulder, and take it to where you need it to be. Hopefully in your vegetable garden or flower bed that you're going to till, or into the compost pile.
I remember, I was just remembering something that I remember that you said earlier in the season, maybe it was even last year, that you said was kind of a good idea to chop up the leaves after you get them. Use a trimmer or like a weed whacker.
Oh, yeah.
And you put them in a garbage can and then kind of chop them up while they're in there.
Indeed, yep. Just like a blender in the kitchen.
Like a giant blender, yep.
And then you can put them right, use them as a mulch. Put them in your flower beds, your vegetable garden, underneath your shrubs. They're an excellent, excellent mulch. Because, again, as they rot down, well, number one, they're going to give off carbon, which the soil needs. They're also going to protect them shrubs like a blanket, so you don't get a freeze thaw. You know what? And I gotta go. I'll go off on a tangent.
Sorry.
That's all right.
It's my fault.
Because this is important. That's how most trees and shrubs and perennials fail through the winter. It's not the freezing that kills them. Most of the plants that we buy around here can withstand very, very cold. It's the freeze and thaw. Because we don't get the snow cover we used to. So the nighttime, it gets very cold and freezes. Then the sun comes out in the morning and it thaws it out. That damages the cells. They absorb water and then it freezes in there. They don't get a chance to move it throughout the plant. And then it freezes and starts to break the cell. So that causes the damage and sometimes even death. And so that cover of leaves or mulch, you know, if you're done mulching that cover of leaves, they're going to rot away and disappear over the winter or through the winter and spring. They're going to help a little bit by protecting that soil from that freeze and thaw so the roots can survive. And even some plants, it doesn't hurt them to really even pile the leaves right on top of a plant to a point of 6 inches maybe to really give them protection if you have some tender plants or if they're in an area that has extreme cold and then warmth through the year. Which reminds me, a lot of people have planted that new tree. And so that first couple years, we got to protect the trunk. Those new trees, they were grown in the nursery and they were well fed, so they grow fast so that they can sell them in a hurry. But that makes their bark, which is their skin layer, very thin. So they need some protection too. So getting tree wrap, wrapping it with cardboard, any burlap, anything to protect that trunk from that freeze and thaw, and will be very beneficial. Otherwise, you can end up with what we call a frost crack, you know, and you may see that in the winter. It may be kind of wide, an eighth of an inch wide. Come spring, when everything thaws out, that crack will close shut, but it's still there. And, of course, that gives it a chance to get pathogens, we call it, fungus, disease, yeah, inside. And it can cause damage to those newly planted trees. So good idea to protect those newly planted tree trunks, especially the ones, weeping cherry, some of those. They're really two plants in one. It's a cherry tree trunk and then a cherry bush grafted on top. Where that graft is made is extremely tender. That you really want to wrap to protect that, because that can fail in a real hurry through a severe winter. Now, we haven't had any bad winters lately, but
we're due.
Yeah, we're due. So
it'll happen again.
So keep that in mind. And if you have some real tender shrubs, of course, you can't wrap the trunk on all of them, because shrubs have several trunks. But you can wrap the whole shrub in burlap. I wouldn't, don't use plastic, because that can cause a greenhouse effect inside the plastic and damage it. So burlap, it still lets air in and out, but it does shade it enough so you don't get that harsh sun and that quick thaw out, so you don't get damaged that way. But getting back to the leaves.
Leaves!
Yeah. That's what I was talking about.
Well, we're about to have a lot of them.
Yes, we are. Well, and it's going to be a dandy fall.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's already, the colors are starting to come out.
Yeah, they sure are. So take time to take a drive or a nice long walk, you know, to enjoy them, because it is really amazing.
I found the peak season for color around here is usually the second week of October, it seems like.
Yeah, anymore it is, yeah. 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 I can remember when we used to get frost in September.
Yeah?
Yeah. but now we don't. Another one, though, you might see that concerns a lot of people in some of our evergreens, like the rhododendrons, azaleas, even our arborvitaes. That's a real common one anymore. That they'll get a lot of brown leaves this time of year.
Mm.
Now, that's normal. That's okay. And I'll just talk about the rhododendron, because a lot of people get concerned. A lot of yellow leaves in it, and then they're falling to the ground. The rhododendron has an evergreen leaf that's only good for about 3 years, and then it has to shed it and make a new leaf, because dust particles have built up on the outside of the leaf. And it makes it hard to photosynthesize, or the vascular system in that leaf is starting to plug up with different minerals, and so it's not as efficient as it should be. So the plant decides to get rid of it. So they close off that food source to that leaf. The leaf turns color, finally drops off. Not to worry, it's going to produce a new leaf come spring. So that's just common. It's typical. The plant has to do it. Same with arborvitae. You may look at your arborvitae and see little patches of brown here and there. Nothing to be concerned about.
They're not thirsty. They're just going through
the
time of the year.
Now, if you see one big patch where all of the needles on your arborvitae are brown, well, that's a sign of probably an insect pest. And that's where you can do the white piece of paper, You put it underneath that set of leaves and tap on it, and then look on the paper. If you see anything moving, those little dust particles, you probably have an insect problem, probably spider mites. They're looking for a home to winter over to. And you can get rid of them by just tapping them out. They'll fall to the ground. They don't have enough energy to get back up. Or you can give them a blast with the hose, or take your rake and comb the shrub. That'll get rid of a lot of those brown needles that are not needed anymore, but also dislodges all those insects that may be there. And again, they fall to the ground, and they're like hummingbirds. They don't have enough energy to get back up to a nice feeding area. So,
And you said they can survive the winter, those little tiny spider mites?
No, yeah, they can. Wow. They get down in deep into the shrub, into the foliage, where the wind is not going to hit them, and where it's a little bit warmer, they can survive the winter, yes.
And I guess they'd have to, because they come back next year.
Yeah.
If they would completely die out every year, well, they wouldn't be back then, would they?
A lot, yeah.
They got to hide somewhere.
A lot of them even will start to form a web. It's very hard to see their web.
Yeah.
They'll form a web, which also makes a windbreak and raises the temperature a few degrees enough for them to survive.
Wow, that's neat.
Of course, many insects will fall to the ground and go underground and or under leaf litter, and then they'll survive the winter. So look out for all of those things. So get the leaves off your grass by the mower or leaf blowers. Collect them. Use them. Don't throw them away. Use them, because they can be very valuable.
And we want to get them off the grass. Why?
Because they cause shade on the grass. And that shade will choke out the grass, so we'll end up with a brown spot there.
Okay.
So we do want to keep them off, so they're not a thick layer to where they're blocking out all the sun. I was going to say something else about the leaves. What was I going
to
say?
I think, well, it's a good time to thank our sponsor, Worth W.
Okay,
Smith.
Good.
So we'll be back in 30 seconds. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. It's not too early to start stocking up on wood pellets for your heating stove. If it's time to replace your pellet stove, see Worth Smith for their line of quality Harman stoves. You'll also find a big selection of stove pipes and other heating supplies in stock. And don't forget the antifreeze for your RV. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And hey, a quick note, we're going to be live downtown Bradford today. It's Pumpkin Fest.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, so join us on Main Street. I'll be there from noon to 2 handing out freebies. And of course, the festivities go on from noon until I think about 5.
Yeah.
But wow, there's a lot to do for the kiddies. So,
yes, and the grown-ups too. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's a whole family affair. We'll hope to see you down there on Main Street in Bradford. All right, so we're talking leaves today, or fall cleanup.
Yeah. The other thing that can be very important is lowering your lawnmower too now this time of year.
Oh, okay.
If we've been cutting at 3 to 4 inches, which is a great height to be cutting your grass, now's the time to get it down around 1.5 inches. And the biggest reason is not only helps chop up all those leaves, make short grass so they just blow across your yard and into the neighbors and let that be their problem then. But we can get what we call snow mold on the grass. If the grass is tall, snow comes down, bends it over. If the snow remains there for a long period of time, it blocks out all the sunlight and gives a chance for mold to grow on our grass. And that can damage our grass after the grass doesn't have any leaf blade to photosynthesize for a while. Then it'll start to rot and die off. Even with snow cover on a short grass, there's still sunlight going through the snow. So your grass can survive. Matter of fact, your grass really can grow during the winter even. But tall grass is going to bend over, become moist all the time, and fungus that may be harboring in the soil going to get on those leaf blades and cause some damage. So lower the mowers this time of year down to 1.5 inches, and you'll have a much better lawn come spring.
It's always so disappointing when you want to give that one last mow.
Yeah.
And it just, it's soaking wet and it's,
yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
I just need another, just give me one more sunny day. Sometimes it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So don't wait too long like I have in the past.
Yes, like we all have probably. Another thing I wanted to talk about was bulbs, because it's time to plant some spring flowering bulbs.
Okay.
And I'm going to start out with one of the smaller ones. I'll get up close here.
All right. Let me get up the camera here on Facebook Live so you can join us there.
Okay. Real pretty purple, but they're going to also come in yellow and white. Crocus bulbs.
Crocus.
They're going to be about the first one to pop up in the spring. The bulbs are very small, and I'll show you a bulb here. Still very small and does have that little pointy part at the very top. That's what you want facing up. And if you do make a mistake where it's facing down, don't worry. The bulb does have the ability to correct itself. It'll send out roots and turn the bulb. They can do that.
A good idea to...
To keep that pointy side up, that little bulb. So real easy to plant. In the old days, we used to just take a rod and poke a hole in the ground, have a bucket of soil beside us, drop the bulb in the ground 2 to 3 inches, that's all. And then put some soil on top and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And these will come back year after year after year, maybe as much as 100 years even.
Wow, really?
And can be planted anywhere. I like to plant them even right in my lawn because they'll come up and flower before I have to do the first mow. And they don't really they're not really bothered by a mowing. They'll still because you'll be mowing at a higher height come spring. Not that 1.5 inches. You want to get up to 2.5, 3, 4 inches.
This says plant in full sun, too.
Yes.
So that's important.
That's important, but you still get full sun underneath that oak tree or maple tree because there's no leaves on it yet. So it's getting full sun. So it's been a real common practice to do that, put a whole ring around it, around that, if you got a mulch area, especially around that maple or oak, or many of those other leafy trees, plant the crocuses. They'll come back year after year. They'll even multiply and get better and better. And it's a nice thing to see first thing in the spring, those nice flowering crocus. Because the flower's a lot bigger than the bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And the foliage just looks like grass, so it fits right in your lawn real well. But you can plant these anywhere. As a matter of fact, I'll talk about you can even plant them in a pot and have them indoors.
How long do they keep their color, their bloom?
They can last, depending on the weather, you know. They can keep their bloom there for a week to 2 weeks, so it's well worth it.
Oh, so you only get them for like a couple of weeks in the early spring?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
But that's all right. That's
all that work, I'm going to get 2 weeks of color?
Yeah, but then you'll get it year after year after year with no work at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And you'll be supporting the pollinators that are there early.
Good. No wonder they're only $4. I was looking at the price. $3.
Yeah. they're pretty inexpensive bulbs.
Yeah, I see.
Matter of fact, I always thought, because they're really a perennial, that... as the price goes, it's the best bang for your buck, you know. You're only going to spend like 50 cents for a plant. You know, that's hard to come by for any perennial.
Now, these bulbs are big. They look like little onions.
Yeah, they do. These are tulips. And, again, tulips are going to come in a lot of different colors. There's the bulb with a pointy side up. So a little bit bigger bulb. And we want to plant them about 4 to 6 inches deep. And so you can just dig that little hole. And if you have enough soil left over after you put the bulb down, pointy side up, then fill the hole back in. And if you want, just give it a little step or just press it with the palm of your hand if you're down on your knees. And that bulb will come back year after year. But one important thing I just thought about. Bulbs cannot withstand wet, soggy soil over the winter. Mm. So don't plant the bulbs in a wet area, or because that will rot them in a hurry. So make sure it's a well-drained area, like a flower bed or around a tree. That's always well-drained. But not in a low spot where it may collect water over the winter. That will destroy them in a hurry. So there are tools, too, before I get to the daffodils.
Okay.
That you can easily plant the bulbs with. There are bulb planters. It's a little gadget that you kind of twist into the soil and then pull out, and that leaves a nice hole the size of the bulb that you want to put in there. And then the soil's in that bulb planter. You usually just squeeze it. All that soil drops out. You can drop it right into the hole and then press it to firm it up a little bit. But also there are drills that you can connect to your electric drill, your battery-operated drill, and it's an auger, really, that you can aug a hole, which I prefer, especially when I was working out at Pitt and where I'd have to plant 1 to 2,000 bulbs.
Oh, yeah. It'll definitely help get a little power behind that.
And it helps if you're doing a pattern, which I did a lot out at mm-hmm. Pitt, too. I can drill all my holes looking at my pattern so I can develop a nice pattern and then go behind by just dropping the bulbs in and moving the soil over. And that was done. You know, it's a very, very quick process. And it's not as hard on you being bent over or crawling around on your knees. So those augers are available, you know, at hardware stores. So they're well worth it. And I have a couple of augers. So a couple of mine are probably getting around 30 years old and still very useful. They do make.
And those are just the drill bits you're talking about?
Yeah, they're just a big drill bit that's usually about 2 to 2.5 inches mm-hmm. around. Drills a nice big hole. They usually have a marker on them of some sort that tells you the depth that you want to drill. A very, very useful tool. The last bulb I wanted to talk about, the daffodils. I really especially like daffodils for a lot of different reasons because they are so hardy. They're going to come back for a good 100 years, maybe longer.
That's the kind that my wife planted, but we didn't do it in full sun, so we don't get the full effect.
Oh, okay.
We thought we were getting more sun than we had.
Oh, okay.
Next to our porch, you know, by the house. So,
Oh, well.
We do get a couple of them anyway.
The daffodil, and again, that big pointy side up. You can even, a lot of times, see root hairs on the bottom. Make sure you plant them correctly. But daffodils are going to come in a lot of different colors. Mostly the yellows and oranges and whites. Some of them have a beautiful scent to them, too. Mm. If you look on the package when you're purchasing them, you'll see geranium scented and all sorts of neat scents. And believe me, the scent is given off very, very well. I used to work on one piece of property that had hundreds of daffodils that were scented. And as soon as you pulled close to the house, you could smell it.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, beautiful scent. It even smelled better than grandma just before church.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
Oh.
Wow.
Really, I seen the worried look on your face.
I'm like, that's not really, I don't remember a pleasant odor. The perfume, got it.
Yeah,
got
the perfume. It. Yep. So all the bulbs, you know, not all, but 99% of them are all perennials, going to last for a long, long period of time. Matter of fact, some hunters can tell you they can be out in the woods and all of a sudden they'll see a patch of daffodils growing and nothing else there, no house, no barn.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, they'll outlast human habitation. So keep that in mind. You plant these bulbs, you're going to have them for a lot of years. So well worth it. Well worth it. And they just really are very cheerful to see early in the spring before anything even leafs out or anything else flowers. The bulbs are there, and they're supporting the pollinators. But also with the daffodils, one of the biggest reasons I like them is because deer hate them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they really, really dislike them. And so if I've got – and deer love tulips.
Oh.
They love tulips. So always plant some daffodils with your tulips, and that will help keep the deer away. Sometimes the deer will walk over a daffodil to get to your tulips, but most of the time they'll smell that daffodil and stay away from your tulips. The crocus, the deer are not going to bother. A lot of the other bulbs are not going to bother, but deer love tulips for a good reason. Tulips are very, very sweet. When they first start to open, there's a lot of sugar nectar in there to attract pollinators. And matter of fact, the Roman army, before they'd go into battle, would eat a tulip bulb, thinking that it gave them extra strength and endurance. So tulips can be edible. I wouldn't eat any.
No.
but they can be. And so the deer know that, so they will. And the chipmunks too. But interplant some daffodils with them, and you won't have that problem. Or hyacinths. I didn't bring any hyacinths with me. They're the real well-known, highly, highly scented bulb. They may not, you may only get 4 or 5, maybe 10 years out of a hyacinth bulb, but they're well worth it because, again, 50 cents a plant, you know, that's pretty inexpensive.
All right. Hey, we're just about out of time. Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, with the hyacinth, I want to warn people. A lot of people are allergic to hyacinth, the skin on the hyacinth bulb.
Really?
Yes. So not all of us, but some of us. And so it may be a good idea to wear rubber gloves when you're planting your hyacinths because it's been known that some planting hyacinths, I remember this out at Pitt when I'm having students help me, and it never failed. Some of the girls, I always had girls helping me because I preferred the girls to help me because they're much better workers than the guys.
Hey.
They are.
How dare you.
But never failed. You know, a girl would be planting the hyacinth bulbs and she'd scratch her face and then all of a sudden break out.
Oh, wow. So is it like a itchy rash? Or
just an itchy rash that goes away overnight.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you think you may be allergic to them, wear some rubber gloves. That's no big deal.
And don't touch your face.
Don't
rub your eyes, for goodness sakes. Yeah. Oh. All right.
But that's only with the hyacinth bulb. Mm-hmm. None of the other bulbs are going to bother you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Bob.
Oh, you bet.
Another fantastic episode in the books. And if you have a question during the week, please contact us, garden@wesb.com. You can also comment on our Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. And we'll be back next week.
You bet.
All right. Sounds like a plan. We'll see you then. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. Have a great weekend. We'll see you at Pumpkin Fest today.